B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guida Door and Window. Take advantage of Guida Door and Window's big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call Guida Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, let's get back to the phones with Mike in Philly. What's up, Mike?
What's up, brother?
How you doing?
I'm going to talk about Drew Brees. I think he's right. He should feel that way about his own family. I don't disagree with him feeling that way about his own family. I just think he didn't recognize other people's plights and situations.
He should have.
He should have.
Yeah, I mean, come on. That guy's been in the league playing with black players for a lot of years. He should be more enlightened than doing what he said. Come on.
Yeah, but he was talking about his own family.
Yeah, you know? The statement he made in this climate about the flag, he doesn't know better than that.
I think he made the statement at the wrong time. He should have said that a long time ago to make it clear what he was talking about his family. But at this time, in this climate, when he said that, people didn't hear, you know, he was talking about his family. They heard disrespect towards George Floyd. I'm black. I didn't hear that. I only heard that he was talking specifically about how he felt about.
Well, here's how I felt about what he said. I felt that he was then like going back in time and resorting to the Kaepernick thing that we should be so far beyond at this point that he took it back. Instead of progress, he went backwards. Like that issue. We were all wrong. The people that judged Kaepernick's protest as a protest against the military were wrong. So he took people back to that mindset.
Right.
For what reason?
Right. Well, like I said, if he's glorifying his own family, I agree with it. But he should have been smarter to know that the climate would have been a little upset that
he should have been smarter. Yes.
Right.
All right, Mike. All right, guys, sticking up for Drew.
Well, which is fine. What about the part, Mike, where he said, I won't tolerate any disrespect to the flag? What did that have to do with his family?
That didn't have anything to do with his family. That was what the taking you back to the, Kaepernick was wrong days. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, another issue has just kind of almost justified what the Kaepernick situation was about. I mean, that was the example of what he's talking about. So now you're going to go back and say, well, I was going to respect the flag, insinuating that people who knelt down at that particular time were disrespecting the flag. That's what he was trying to say.
Right. And then he used his family as the reason for, but not at all thinking about any of the many black teammates, as you mentioned, any of them.
Yeah.
And any of their plights when their family members returned from the military, which was not the same as Drew Brees' family when they returned from the military.
Exactly. And Malik Jackson took them to task. Recently, can we have the audio, Malik? All right, let's hear Malik, former teammate of Drew Brees, see what he had to say.
For him to say that, lost a lot of respect. Definitely excited playing them in the year. You know, I'm gonna have a lot to say, and you know, hopefully I don't get too wild with it. But I mean, I don't understand how you can say that when you have people blocking for you that are black, and you have people catching the ball for you that are black, you have people running the ball for you that are black. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I understand silence. You know, silence is bad too, but. You know, sometimes you might just want to just be silent, you know, and I don't accept his apology. I think he's only apologizing because of people came for him and people are disagreeing with him. And he understands his basis in Louisiana is a lot of black people.
Sounds like Malik's going to kick his ass. that sounds like when they play. But it's like who is he trying to win points with by saying that? Like he's already won the point. He doesn't have to win points with white people, does he, by saying that? He's trying to win points with who? The people who disagree with Colin Kaepernick?
It was odd, and the interview was with Yahoo Finance. And I think they were talking about some of the good things that he's done. Like Malik said, this was a chance for him to say, you know what? maybe I'm not the best speaker on this at this moment, and just move on, and he would have went on with the...
Or maybe you could say, you know what, I understand what Colin meant. You know, it's, I mean, is that hard to say?
It's not, and no. Also there's people out there to say, oh, now he can't stand. I don't agree with that. Like, I stand for the anthem, and I personally will continue to stand for the anthem. That doesn't mean that I have some issue, obviously, with other people who don't stand during the anthem. Drew can do whatever Drew wants to do. Drew just shouldn't be slamming people for their peaceful protest.
I'm trying to think, like Drew Brees, he was probably brought up in white rural Texas, right?
Yes.
Okay, so he has that natural vibe on how he looks at things, and maybe he was one of these guys growing up that just did like everybody else. But now you're talking about an educated man who has played at a high level of football with various teammates of color in college and professional. Right? Like, how do you not then become enlightened more than that?
It's the darndest thing. And now,
he didn't care to.
Right, and it's such an opposite from our quarterback here. Carson Wentz was the first NFL court white player to come out and say something, active player, and he hit every single right note. And he didn't just cite the Bible like he normally does. He spoke on his own behalf. So how does a guy in his 20s from North Dakota, who no way he was around a lot of black people, already get it?
Yeah.
And a guy who's 40 not get it, you know?
That's what I don't understand. Like, it's right in front of you to study. Well,
he's
100 years.
Right, he's 40,
I think it's like
20 years in the league.
It's Drew Brees' planet, and he thinks, oh, well, how do I feel about this? Not how do other people feel about this, not how the people are speaking feel about this. How do I feel about this? That's what he did. He probably looks at everything through his own Drew Brees lens, where it's
he
just
does,
his little
and,
world.
But I'm saying there's no excuse for it
because you
have now the education and training to think differently. Dave in Center City. Dave.
Mikey Miss, how are you?
What's up, Dave?
Hey, before I get into the Mets ownership, for what it's worth, Charles Barkley defended Drew Brees.
He did. Listen, Charles will go off on tangents that I don't agree with a lot. And he has his own opinions.
Well, he tries to fight that. First of all, Sterling Equity owns 70% of the Mets. It's a bigger franchise. It is grossly undervalued at $1.5 billion. They had two horrible things that happened to them in 2009. They were one of their officers of the board were one of the few investors that made a gazillion dollars with Madoff's holding companies.
Yeah.
Not so fast. Uh-huh. They had to return that. Citibank, of course, took all that bailout money. Was their number one advertiser. So, Mikey Miss, forget about you going to North Carolina with a owner a minor league franchise. You, Anthony, your brother, you get a capital venture fund. Guess what? You're a player now.
So, I should buy the Mets? I should call Josh?
It's there. Hey, you know what's... Yeah, and you remember this, Mikey Miss. It's called Tyrone was talking about teams moving around and the Memphis Grizzlies. Phoenix Cardinals wanted a football team in early 90s.
Yeah.
The talk was they were going to get the Eagles. We were going to get the Cincinnati Bengals. That didn't go over too well.
Right. No, it didn't.
Mikey Miss, let's have some fun. You got a 21-game hitting streak, okay?
Yeah.
Are you ready? These two players were horrible deal with Jabbar going to the Lakers. David Myers and Brian Winters named their colleges, sir.
David Myers went to UCLA.
My man!
Brian Winters...
With a horrible beard.
I remember Brian Winters. Yeah. Let me. It's going to come to me.
Okay,
Brian Winters went to. He had the beard. He had the part in the middle. He went. He was South Carolina.
I love you, my brother.
All right, Brian Winters. could fire a little bit.
Yeah, he coached for a long time, didn't he?
Yeah, he did coach in the NBA.
Yeah, he was an assistant a lot, but I remember him on some good benches. I'm looking it up now. He coached from 1984 to 2013. Coached for a really long time.
I think that he's a New York kid.
He is. Queens, New York. Archbishop Malloy.
Isn't that where Kenny Anderson went?
Let's see.
I think Kenny Anderson went to Archbishop Malloy.
That's where he went to?
He's a Queens kid, Brian Winters. I'm pretty sure they're not showing him for some reason.
They have Lou Carnesecca.
Somebody famous went to Archbishop Malloy. Some famous.
He probably did. Notable alumni. Let's look.
Brian Winters.
Yeah, Kenny Anderson did go there.
Yeah, Kenny Anderson. There you go.
A few NBA players. Robert Werdman. Kenny the Jet Smith also went there.
That's right. Kenny the Jet went there.
That's a factory.
Yeah, it is. Archbishop Malloy. They had a long time coach there. I forget it was Jack something. All right, Jordan in New Hope. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jordan.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Jordan?
Hey there. I wanted to build off of something a caller said a little bit ago, and I don't want to take up too much of your time, so maybe somebody else could call in a little bit and build off of this. But the way the gentleman was saying that he didn't really understand what Kaepernick was doing, and he doesn't consider himself a racist person. So there's racism as an attitude, and then there's the system of racism, which is a inherent thing built into the institutions that support us, that shape us, and that guide our lives, like education and healthcare. There is baked in racism that has nothing to do with our attitudes. And people try to, I'm on Facebook, everybody's on Facebook, and people are always having conversations. I'm not a racist. I have black friends.
Yeah, I love when people say that.
I know. Yeah. It's
that's the ultimate. I'm not a racist. Proof.
You know? My brother-in-law is black or something. But even if you're not, we are all, as Americans, participating in a system that benefits white people more than any minority. And you could look at just schooling per zip code as an easy way to start with that. And you could look at education and its percentage of what it predicts in terms of wealth and outcome as a further, you look at healthcare among the different, racial groups, you look at home ownership, and there's systems that date back for hundreds of years that have created what it is now. But not only those systems, there's the ones that are still in place right now that continue to do the same thing.
So I totally agree with you, man. You're speaking in good sense, Jordan.
So even if everybody was attitude race-free, it wouldn't even solve the problem. So
we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there really is. And, it's social scientists that we should be listening to. People that study this stuff and have data.
Yeah.
Those are the people we need to be listening to right now, in my mind.
Good call, Jordan. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
So, Brian Winters was the first coach of the Vancouver Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now.
Mid-90s, right?
Yeah.
Vancouver Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
He was the head coach. They were terrible.
They were. Stu Jackson was running it.
Stu Jackson was the general manager?
Yeah, he was president or whatever, yeah.
Let me see if I could. You know who their center was?
In the beginning or who they drafted? I know who they drafted. They drafted that big country Brian Reeves. That's them.
Brian Reeves was their rookie draft pick.
Yeah.
I think he may have started. And they had a lot of bums late in their career on this team, man. Benoit Benjamin.
Yes.
Byron Scott at the end of his career was on this garbage team.
Come on, Byron.
Greg Anthony.
Yeah, at the end, Greg Anthony was there playing on the point. Yeah.
Kenny Gattison. Remember Kenny Gattison?
I do remember Kenny Gattison.
Lawrence Moten out of Syracuse. Eric Murdoch.
I thought he could play at one point. I thought he was going to develop. He never really did.
Yeah, it's Gerald Wilkins.
I remember late.
Oh, that team was horrendous.
Post-Cavs.
What was their record? 15-67.
Terrible.
And then did they draft Sharif Abdur-Rahim?
Yeah.
And they went there to hear your next draft pick?
Yeah.
The year after that?
Who was after that?
Well, it was Brian Reed's
96 year.
And the next year was they had
Abdul,
top three pick, Abdur-Rahim.
And he could play.
Yeah.
He could play. Yeah. He was playing with nothing, but he could ball. Yes. He was getting 20-10 back then.
Oh my God, Brian Winters was the coach of that team. All right, let's go Kendall in Southwest Philly. Kendall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kendall.
Hey, what's going on, folks? How y'all doing?
What's up,
today?
Kendall?
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Yeah, so it's a lot of stuff we've been seeing, right? Where you see the Republicans wearing the dashikis and, all of the African Native outfits and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you see the Black Lives Matter movement, right? All right, let's take, for instance, Martin Luther King Boulevard and Martin Luther King High Schools, right? Or Malcolm X Drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
All those things is symbolism, right? Now, with me being really involved in the Black community and, really being a part of my people, right? People are tired of that in the Black community. They don't want symbolism, okay? They want policy and substance. They want things to change. We want laws. You see what I'm saying? We want reparations.
Absolutely.
And on top of that, too, you got to look at, out of all 50 of American states, right, you have 46. So 4 out of the 50, they're states with a no hate crime bill. So the state where Aubrey was cut at down in Georgia, they tried to pass the hate crime bill, but the Supreme Court knocked it down in 2004. So you got the state of Georgia, the state of South Carolina, and the state of Wyoming and Arkansas. All of those states, they don't have a hate crime bill. And they've tried them in past, but the state Supreme Courts keep knocking them down. That's the problem. We don't want any.
That's the thing that white people do not understand about institutional racism. The stuff that you're putting in there. Like the example I put out with the indictment in Minneapolis is an example of institutional racism.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the big deal. And, the guys don't want to talk about the reparations or anything. And that's coming from both the Republican side and the Democratic side. Neither one of them are really forced. That's not understand why the Democratic Party has such a strong pull on the Black community. But we're giving them that power. We don't have to go in their direction if they're not doing anything for us. And I've been hearing a lot of rumblings around us actually creating our own political party. And I feel like it's going to happen. It might be about a 2 to 3 year process, but it's going to have to happen, man. Because, I mean, a lot of guys need to ask themselves, especially in the Black community, name 5 things that the Democratic Party has done for Black America. You can give me an answer for that, then I'll give them my vote. But other than that, if they can't talk about reparations for the Black community, I don't want to have the conversation because the money is there and they can help us out. You know what I mean? But, and another thing, too, we need a school in our community that teaches the RBCs. That means real estate, business, and credit. We need these things to be taught, especially in Black, predominantly Black schools.
Kendall, you work within the city structure?
No. Actually, my dad was a city worker for 25 years. He retired. He actually passed now. But I'm big on real estate, business, and credit. That's my background.
Uh-huh.
That's my family's background. Those are the things that the upper white America does not want to be taught in the school systems. Because at the end of the day, why would a lion teach his prey how to hunt him?
Yeah. Thanks, Kendall. That's powerful. 610-632-0975. Henry on a cell. What's up, Henry? Henry?
Hello,
Henry.
Can you hear me?
Yes, gotcha.
Good. How's everybody doing over there?
We're doing good.
Make sure everybody being safe?
Yeah, everybody's safe.
Great.
I got my mask right here. We're social distancing.
That's what's up. So am I. I'm in my car by myself, so I'm good. I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. When things like that happen with the police, and first thing people say is, let's sue the city, you know, and which means the taxpayers got to pay. The officers that committed the crimes have nothing held against them. So my question is, instead of suing the city, is there any way that people can sue the FOP? The federal police?
Well, what would be the grounds to sue the FOP?
Okay. Say I'm driving down the street and I get pulled over by a cop. I ain't doing nothing wrong, but I get knocked over the head and get beat up by the police and put in jail for no reason. Then I get out. But the first thing people say, I'm going to sue the city. Which means this is because
the city has the deeper pockets. So the city is the institution that actually is the employer of the police officers.
That's exactly my point.
I don't know what your point is. The point is
that the cop that committed the crime gets away scot-free, but his pockets are still safe. But if you put their pockets in jeopardy.
Yeah, well, they don't have any money that you're going to get anyway. So, that's a cop making what, $45,000 a year?
Yeah, but
he's going to jail. I mean, he's losing his life. I mean, that's over for him anyway. If you want to be compensated civilly, you go after the people that have the money, and there's going to be, obviously, there's a wrongful death suit going to be filed against the city of Minneapolis here, and they're going to have to settle it for a monster number.
Yeah, okay.
That guy's going to jail, man. If he gives $10, that's going to, I'm not trying to protect the guy, but you go after civilly wrong, you after the people that have money.
I guess the question I'm asking, the Fraternal Order of Police, isn't it where all their pensions and all the relief...
You can't attach pensions. You can't go after pensions in a civil matter. So, I don't know. That guy's not worth money. You go after the city that employed him. If you're going to sue, if you want to make an example, you can include him in the lawsuit.
I don't think you're not allowed, are you?
You can't sue him civilly?
I thought
for a wrongful death. I think you can, unless they have some kind of immunity from.
Yeah, isn't there that qualified immunity thing?
It could be qualified immunity for a police officer in Minneapolis, but now that he's been indicted on second degree murder, I don't know if it's a privilege attached. I don't know. It's city law, state law, Minneapolis. I don't know. But the point, I know what he wants. He wants to take a pound of flesh from the guy and make him responsible. Well, he's responsible and he's going to serve the rest of his life in prison. That's what you do to that guy.
Right. I get what you're saying.
To make the family whole, you go after the people that can compensate the family.
Yeah, and there's also a civil rights lawsuit from the state against that police department. Mm-hmm. And apparently they're already setting up a settlement, a seven-figure settlement with George Floyd's family.
Exactly, because you can't take that case. You can't take that case to court. So if you represent the family, you just wait for them to write the check that satisfies you.
Right.
That's the way that works. All right, we have a couple open lines. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 5:31. It's some big news in the Michael Jordan front after we update our our Twitter poll. The final numbers in our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turner, other outdoor power equipment, check out Paul B. Moyer and Sons. They have it all. Order online at paulbmoyer.com or just give them a call. They have safe, contactless pickup. Their place is in Doylestown, PA. Natalie, I got off the final numbers of our Twitter poll for today.
Thanks, Mike. We have over 1,400 votes on today's poll. Would you be okay with the Sixers joining a super regional network? 24% say yes, 76% say no.
All righty. So down one. Thank you much. News out of North Carolina today, Tyrone. You know what's going on? The Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament.
Yeah.
It's gone on. One of the biggest fishing events in the country.
Yeah.
Michael entered this year.
Really?
The 62nd installment of the annual tournament. He and his crew on his boat called Catch 23.
I actually do like that. That's a good boat title. That's a good boat name.
Reeled in a 442.3-pound blue marlin on the second day of the tournament. What?
Wow.
What? Who knew?
That is correct. Michael Jordan, Catch 23, pulling into docks in Moorhead City, North Carolina. He emerges on the back deck of his 80-foot Viking. The crowd cheering and whistling. The marlin was then hoisted up for the weigh-in. 442.3 pounds. The fifth heaviest ever reeled in.
Ever.
Wait, Michael Jordan reeled in the fifth heaviest marlin in this competition.
Michael Jordan's crew. I don't know if Michael baited the hook and cast the line.
But
when you do that, those are the ones that's connected to the boat, and you have to wear like that jacket, like
and it snaps.
Snapping
after it hits.
Yeah.
So, wow, they're vying for a record purse of $3.4 million and $1.14 million to the first place finisher.
If that's fifth all time, it's going to be tough to beat.
Mike said, it's been a while since I've been back in Moorhead City. It's only about 100 miles from Wilmington. It's always great for me to be able to come back. This is a chance for me to come back home. Every chance I get, I'd love to come back home.
Wow. I didn't know he was a fisherman.
Me neither.
Apparently he has fished for marlin in the past. Not his first marlin tournament, but the first one he's competed in North Carolina. Since, like, every chance he gets, he loves to come back home. But this is the first one he ever...
This would be his first one. This would be his first one, and then he wins.
Now, Booney has a good point.
Uh-huh.
Since Jordan's already talking trash about the four bigger marlins. Good line, Bob Booney.
True.
Look how this one's shaped. See, the other marlin was all beat up. This one's better, clearly, and the scales are better now. Back in the day, they didn't know what to do with them scales. This is the best. You know he's doing that. Booty's right.
That's funny. 205 boats, though, are in the contest.
How about
that? The Catch 23, I would say, was pretty souped up. Like, yeah. You got some guy who like, nailed it. Nailed some,
right.
some boards together.
Right, he's
and
got
went out with the marlin.
He's holding the motor. Right.
he's got a TV screen that flashes up. They are here.
Right. He does. He probably does have that underground sonar and all that stuff. He has everything. These other fishermen are doing it by feel. I feel like they're biting over here.
They put little pieces of white bread on the corner of the hook and throwing it out there.
Hey, guys, got the night crawlers? Let's throw it.
He has I'm counting. There's a team of 10.
piece of leftover chicken. He's sticking on there.
They love this chicken. Here we go.
Let's go to Tim in Elkins Park. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Tim?
Nothing. Just with everything going on in the world and you being back, this is your first time talking about, there's just a few things I wanted to throw out there
sure.
in general.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what's happening is people aren't understanding that there's a system that allows racist thinking and behavior in places of authority, like police, court systems, things like that. It's the important things where people that are racist are still allowed to get in and they make an impact because they're in an important place.
Mm-hmm.
And people just don't really seem to understand it. You know, like I'm looking, social media is so toxic. Like I really need to just empty it from my life. But like, there's this, if you look through, you know, I've had to delete countless people that, you know, I've been not friends with, but acquaintances with, been, you know, kind to in the past, but I can't deal with that. It's stupid thinking. Like, it's not intelligent to think that, you know, because of the color of someone's skin that they're different. Like, scientifically, it's stupid.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, there's this Larry Krasner page on social media, and that personally, I don't like the guy. It's, you know, impeach Larry Krasner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I join it. But if you go on there, my God, it's like a right, far right, you know, they support every cop regardless if he's good or bad. Now, there's thousands of police that go out there every day, and they do a great job, and they make a huge difference in their communities. But there are, in any profession, there's good and bad. And like people that are like hardcore, you know, the police supporters just seem to think that just because you're a cop, everything's excusable. And it's just not.
Well, like listen, the police officers are strongly bonded, right? That's right. Where the blue wall comes from. And like there's a situation in Philly now with the guy. The guy's name's Bologna.
Yeah. That's right? What it was about. There was a confrontation on there, yeah.
Yeah, and so they showed up to support him as he went into the hall, and they've got t-shirts say Bologna strong, all that kind of stuff. You know, the guy was out of line. The guy was overzealous.
Exactly. He may be a great guy, maybe a great cop, but he was wrong. And you know, you need to admit when you're wrong and suffer the consequences.
Yeah, and the whole thing in Philadelphia here is that you know they've got a new contract coming up. Now this mayor is supported by the police. And so the arbitration system that allows police officers to do wrong to get their jobs back many times is going to be challenged. Does James Kenney go in favor of changing that system where bad cops continually get their job back and they get chance after chance after chance after chance? Or will he stand up?
His hands might be forced a little bit this time. Although he's not really going to run again, so
no, you know the arbitration system is a flawed system because it allows these indiscretions to keep going and going and going, and it doesn't matter what you do, you're gonna win an arbitration, you're gonna get your job back because the union is that powerful. All right, we're coming down the home stretch. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 5:44. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. So we got the golf coming up this weekend, and it's just been announced they're going to mic them all up.
Yep.
Mic up some PGA players.
Yeah, it'll be. I think that'll add a little something. It can't hurt.
They're not cursers by nature, so I think you'd be safe there.
Yeah, for the most part.
I think it'll be neat.
And not every shot's live. You know, they'll say, okay, let's cut this 8. If it is, they can bleep it a good chunk of it. I think that'll add something to the game. I think they're probably going to get a good number. It's a live sport.
Because the golfers usually don't talk to each other. You know, very rarely. You'll get an occasional conversation coming up a fairway. But for the most part, they're just in their own little world. So I wonder what you're going to get out of that.
What about the caddy? They talk to the caddies.
Yeah, the caddy conversation, I guess.
You at least get one side of that. I think that would be interesting. Like, you know, on the second shot on this par 4, what club they're going to go to, you know, where pin placement, that kind of stuff might be cool to hear.
Yeah, if he gives him the wrong club and he mishits it, and he goes, dude, man. You know, like stuff like
that. Comes up short, that would be good. Or goes to our airmails the hole. Yeah, that'd
come
be
on,
good.
Man. They do yell at their guy. Bubby Watson yells at his caddy all the time.
Yeah.
All right, so tonight on NBC Sports Philly, last night, Phil's win. Beat the Dodgers. Game one of the 20. I knew there was an ugly home run in there. They got the big home run from Ott in the sixth, I think, last night. Was tied the game, and then Burrow put him ahead with a home run. They won the first game 3-2. So tonight, I believe they mashed them.
I thought, didn't Howard hit a home run in game two?
They scored a lot of runs in the game two. Because I remember specifically the Dodger pitcher was Chad Billingsley, and he got chased.
They knocked
in
him
the
around.
Second inning, I think.
Yeah.
To the point where, and I know that because he married a local. There was his wife is local.
Yeah, there was some
Chad
connection.
Chad Billingsley's wife is from around this area.
Gotcha, yeah.
And he got destroyed to the point where I think in this game they had to use Clayton Kershaw on his bullpen day.
Oof.
Because their starter got chased out early in the game. I could be wrong.
That team mashed that 08 team. They mashed.
Yeah, they did. They scored a big number in this game tonight, so that should be fun watching. All right, let's go to Sean in Doylestown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Sean?
Calling about Jordan and the fish. That's big money, those tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
It's like every boat's paying a $50,000 entry fee or whatever for that.
Yeah, he needs it, too. It's a good thing, man. They're paying $1 million something for that. For that big fish, because he could use that. You know, you got to make ends meet.
Well, that's what I was calling about. Is mm-hmm. I got a friend of mine who's got a boat down in Jupiter, Florida that Jordan chartered one time. And they had a good time and everything. Everybody took pictures with him when he left, but he didn't tip anybody. He told him that when you get a picture of me, you can use it as advertising and stuff, and I don't tip anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that before.
Well,
that's
that.
Good. I hope he wins the prize because that money could go to the slander suit that Horace Grant should file against him.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
All right, Sean. Yeah, my poor boy. I'd like to see him get the cash because, you know, he just let $100 million go. So he needs at one point something to, you know, at least replenish the till a little. You think?
Yeah, for sure. He needs it. And Horace probably should be calling his attorney now that we've moved on to phase two.
Yeah, this my fish wins. Just sign the check over to Horace.
He's just endorse it. Horace Grant, just endorse it. Let Horace go ahead and get that check. What, $50,000 to fish?
It's a big fish.
I'm saying that's a risk. $50,000, that means they're all nice boats.
Yeah.
Is this just a bunch of rich guys? Or are these like commercial fishermen who also enter this? Because $50,000 is a lot of money to just enter.
I would think it's all kinds. I mean, you know, people that try to, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience for them. They're trying to win the prize, and it's worth the $50,000 to them.
And Natalie said he had a team of 10. So let's say you and your 10 buddies put in $5,000 each. That's a lot less pain than $50,000 out of your own pocket. I mean, it's still a lot of money, though.
He had Scott Burrell on the boat getting him a beer. You know,
what kind of beer is it? This is warm. Dig to the bottom of the cooler, Scott. Bring me a. You know what? Bullying Scott. It's a warm beer. Bottom of the cooler. Get your hands a little cold, Scott.
Bill and Broomall. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
What's up, Bill? How you doing?
Good. Thank you. I was actually calling. Like for Tyrone on Friday when he was in, he just put forth like a question about Kaepernick and what he could do, what he could have done perhaps to raise attention, but without kneeling. And I was just thinking, just one thing I thought of was like forfeiters games or just not play the games, and that could have brought attention, but also not been as divisive as I think it was like divisive. So like,
what was divisive about it to you?
Well, to me personally, I wouldn't say I really think like kneeling. I would say the fact that, just that he's doing it on work time. Like,
I mean, what's it? Well, who cares?
You know, well, yeah,
seriously.
No,
I mean, I hear that all the time. I'm not sure what that means, doing it on work time.
Well, you know,
he's doing it at a time where people are paying attention and watching. That's what a protest is supposed to be, right?
Yes, but I would say it is divisive for whatever reason.
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Why is it divisive to you? You said work time. Why would him doing it on his work time be divisive to you?
No. Well, no. So work time, just because, just semantically, like you don't have a right to protest at work.
Why? But, why don't you have a right to protest at work? Well, you have a right to protest anywhere you want.
Yeah, well, because your employer could tell you, hey, you're supposed to be working right now.
He's working. It's before the game.
Well,
you know, his work is playing a game.
Well,
I'm just trying to get to the crux of why it bothers you.
Okay, so it doesn't particularly bother me.
It bothers you.
It does bother people in the sense, I mean, it clearly bothers people.
I'm talking about you. Why does it bother you?
It honestly doesn't, Mike, in the sense that I don't get personally offended that he kneels during an anthem or at a flag.
Why is this a topic that you're calling? Why is this the topic you're calling about? There's some point here that you want to make.
Well, no, I mentioned Tyrone had said Friday, what could he done besides kneeling? And so one thing I think he could have done
was
not play the game,
correct?
And let the home fans down and not play the game. Like, what good does that do?
Well, I mean, certainly if you say, listen, I ain't playing in protest and this reason, X, Y, or Z, whatever, that would certainly bring attention to your cause.
But playing the game and kneeling before the game would also, like, why would you have to sacrifice the game?
No, why would you? Well, he just asked for one thing you could do.
I get it. You're trying to answer the question, but I'm trying to have a discussion on, like, why would that have been better for you if he missed the game? Like, why is it bothered? The guy's obviously, it was bothered by it, by him kneeling. So I was trying to get, like, what exactly bothered you about it?
My question was, because people kept saying, I said it was peaceful. Mm-hmm. I said every protest, I said when it comes down to it, you'll be bothered by any protest. And I said, okay, what would have been a peaceful way of protesting that would have been acceptable to you? And I'm pretty sure the last time he tried to say, wear a T-shirt, I said, well, that's not a protest. My point was that there is no acceptable protest for the people that don't believe in the cause.
Exactly. And that's what I was trying to get the guy to, like, maybe review that part of it. But he wasn't going there. All right, George and Mount Airy, you'll be our last caller for today. Quick, George.
Hey, Mike, glad you're back.
Thanks, buddy.
Real quick, I guess I want to put this in. Like, people who call up and have a problem with this protest, any protest, like, just keep it real. Don't go around the world with it when you know you have a problem. Like, I'm sitting there and I'm listening and I'm like, you basically getting at him and he has no answer for your rebuttal to why he has a problem.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get him to be real. What bothers him? I mean, and then we have, like, a landing ground, then we can talk about why it bothers him that way.
Like, real quick, I'll say this. I'd rather you just tell me how you really feel than befriend me, and I got to find out later that, you know, you are racist or you hate me because of whatever.
Yeah, we know what we were dealing with the guy. He said he uses the typical excuses, the workplace, this and that. Well, that's, come on, the workplace. All right, thanks everybody for contributing today, listening, participating. Stay tuned. Joe Torti will be in here at 97.5 The Fanatic, and then on TV, Lunch Talk Live, followed by 2008 NLCS Game 2, Phillies and Dodgers. Have a great night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.